As many of you know, I have a very precious 5-year-old boy who lives with me. And lately he's been having a fascinating issue of the what ifs. Not long ago, my family went to have portraits made. On the way to the portrait studio, my son says, "Dad, what if they don't have any chairs?" And I thought, who cares? But I was trying to work through the logic with him. I was like, "Son, have you ever been there and there were no chairs?" He said, "No. It's a business. Don't you suppose they would have chairs, son? Do you ever sit down for the photographs?" "No, we sit on the floor." But it's one of those things that I've been thinking about for myself, because I'm not sure that we ever grow out of the what ifs. As we get older, our what ifs just become more serious. And sometimes those what ifs turn into constant gnawing that occurs when we look at the discouraging trends in our world and we assume things will not change. And we wonder, well, what if the worst happens? And we ask ourselves, what if? And some of us have spent a lifetime considering what if. And the questions have a way of unsettling people and destroying peace and leaving people insecure. Do you know that you're not the first generation? We are not the first generation to ask, what if? People in the Bible were asking that question too. If you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4, what you'll find is a story of Moses talking to God. And Moses says, right after he's been asked to go talk to Pharaoh, he says, "God, what if they don't believe me? What if they say, I didn't really talk to you?" Abraham asked a servant, a faithful servant, "Go find a wife for my boy." And the faithful servant in Genesis chapter 24, verse 5, looked at Abraham and said, "Abraham, what if she won't come with me?" Now, if you look back in the story, what you'll find is that this servant has just taken a life-altering vow to find a wife for Abraham's boy. He says, "Abraham, what happens if she won't come home?" Joseph's brothers asked themselves several what-if questions. Over in Genesis chapter 50, verse 15, says Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, and they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and decides to pay us back for the wrongs that we did to him?" And you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that was a perfectly valid question. They had not been real nice to him. But all of them wondered what would happen if their circumstances went awry, just like we do. We all face a staggering array of what ifs. Some of them are minor issues. Others have life-altering repercussions. What if I get sick and have to call out from work? What if my child dies? The uncomfortable truth is that either of those are possibilities. Because no one is free from tragedy. No one is free from pain. We were not guaranteed an easy life. And in fact, if you look in John chapter 16, verse 33, you'll find that Jesus says, "I can just about guarantee you the opposite." He says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace, for in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, for I've overcome the world." Many of us bring longings and requests before the Lord, and we want them to be fulfilled. But see, the question is still there. What if our longings are never met? What if our nightmares come true? And as Christians, we find ourselves needing to ask the question, is God enough? If my deepest fears come true, will God be sufficient? And many times, those questions come up and we push them out of our minds, but at some point we have to face them. And people ask a lot of hard questions. If my health goes downhill and I wound up in the hospital, would God be enough for me? If my children rebel against me and don't walk with the Lord, will God be enough for me? What if I never get married and I never feel loved by a spouse? Is God enough? If my ministry doesn't flourish and I never see the fruit of it, will God be enough? If my suffering continues and I don't see the purpose in it, will God be enough? And we want to think in our heart of hearts that eventually we would answer, well, of course God will be enough. But we struggle. We don't want to give up our dreams and surrender those things that are dear to us. We don't want to relinquish those things to which we feel entitled. Many of us believe that we have an unwritten contract with God wherein we promise to do our part if He will fulfill our longings. And some of us might have to admit that part of our desire to be faithful is rooted in our expectation of a payback. Doesn't God owe us something for being good? And yes, it's a rhetorical question, to which the answer is no. God already did His part. But at some point, we need to be willing to open our hands filled with dreams and give those to God. We don't love God because of what He can do for us. We love God for who He is. We worship God because He is worthy of our worship. The Bible tells us that we love God because He first loved us. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus is talking. He says, Father, if You're willing, take this cup from Me. You have to know that Jesus didn't want to go to that cross. But the rest of that verse says, but not My will, but Yours be done. There is a famous quote that was found on the walls of Auschwitz. It says, I believe in the sun even when it is not shining. And I believe in God even when He is silent. God reminds us that we have things that are better than a reassurance, that our what ifs won't happen. We have an assurance that even if they do happen, He will be there. He will carry us and comfort us, and He will care for us. God doesn't promise a trouble-free life, but He does promise that He will be there even in the midst of our sorrows. You might remember a story from the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now you have to understand that these three boys had already been taken from their home. They lost their parents, and they were standing before the most powerful king of their day. And they were under penalty of death at this point. And when they started talking, they had no guarantees of anything. In verse 17 it says, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. But even if He does not, we want you to know, we will not serve your God. Even if the worst happens, God is sufficient. Those three young men faced that fire because they knew that whatever the outcome, God would be glorified. They did not ask, well, what if the worst happens? Because they were already at the brink of what if the worst happens. They were satisfied knowing that even if the worst happened, that God would deal with them and take care of them. Even if. Those two words have taken the fear out of a lot of people. Replacing what if with even if is one of the most liberating changes we can make. Sometimes we are able to trade our irrational fears of an uncertain future for the loving assurance of an unchanging God. We see that even if the worst does happen, that God will carry us. He will be good and He will not leave us. In the book of Habakkuk, our scripture reading from this morning that began in chapter 3 and started in verse 17. You have a prophet who has prayed earnestly for the salvation of his people, understanding that they are about to get wiped off a map. But he concludes three chapters, starting in verse 17, with, even if the fig tree does not bloom and the vines have no grapes, even if the olive tree fails to produce and the field yields no food, even if the sheep pen is empty and the stalls have no cattle, even then I will be happy with the Lord. I will truly find joy in God who saves me. For the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and He enables me to tread on the heights. Even if, not what if, even if the worst thing I could imagine happened, God is still there and still in control. Would you bow with me? Father, we come to You this morning grateful that You are in control. We thank You, Father, for giving us Your Word so that we can look at the historical examples of Your control. We ask, Father, that You would give us hearts that would allow us to say, even if. Allow us, Father, to believe and take comfort and courage from You. It's in Your Son's name that we pray. Amen.